scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, it left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound, double shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
All right, let's get things going from Las Vegas. It's Flames Talk on this Wednesday, June 26th. Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Happy Wednesday. Draft week is underway, and now it's really going to get going in earnest on Wednesday afternoon. The prospects availability, Thursday is kind of the last day of prep, and then Friday, draft day from Sphere in Las Vegas. We're underway. It's Steinberg, and he's made it here. Aaron Vickers of NHL.com is with us as well. Vicks, welcome.
A sleepy Aaron Vickers finally makes it. It was a
arduous travel day, so I'm glad you made it okay.
As arduous as a direct flight can be, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't so much the travel, it was just the wait.
It was the patient wait for a crew, a plane, a captain, a takeoff, and then, of course, an arrival to Vegas.
Good to have you here.
Here we are, buddy.
And we've got lots to talk about this hour on Flames Talk. Again, looking ahead to Friday's first round, which, of course, you'll hear live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, and more. Busy hour ahead, and lots of content for you this week from Vegas. Our draft coverage is brought to you by our outstanding sponsors. We got four great sponsors for our draft week coverage here in Vegas, including Atlas Pizza, All Kind Door Services Limited, Adrenaline Source for Sports, and Calgary Lock and Safe. Calgary Lock and Safe, when it comes to your business, knowing your property is secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Let's kick off this hour by staying here in Vegas, and we say hello to Adam Kimmelman of NHL.com, who's going to help us look ahead to Friday's first round and more. Adam's the deputy managing editor at NHL.com and co-host of the draft class. We had his co-host Mike Morial on last week to help preview the draft, and now Adam joins us on draft week on this Wednesday. Adam, it's Pat and Aaron. Thanks for doing this on draft Wednesday. How you doing?
I'm good. Sounds like Aaron. I'm glad you finally made it here to Vegas.
Well, that's Adam. That's why you got the email at 3 a.m.
Look, it's all good. It's just beautiful to be here. I have a hotel room that overlooks the Sphere. I've been like watching it like a black light, like a lava lamp in your college dorm. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I can't wait to see what it looks like from the inside.
I am so fascinated to see what it's going to look like. I've talked to a couple of people kind of involved on the production side of things, and it's going to be unlike any NHL draft. Adam, I'm sure you've covered tons of these. Aaron and I have covered a ton. We're used to the normal setup of, you know, the tables on the floor, the media risers, all that type of stuff, and apparently it's going to be unlike anything we've ever experienced when it comes to an NHL draft. So I'm looking forward to seeing what it all looks like when we get to Sphere on Friday. And you know, before we do that, there's a lot that needs to get done, and teams are finalizing their lists and all that type of stuff. I'm just, if you were to kind of take an overarching look at this coming weekend, what are some of the things that excite you about this draft class? What are some of the things that excite you about what may or may not happen Friday and Saturday? What are some of the things that you're fired up about going into the 2024 draft?
Well, in all honesty, I think what's going to happen at number two. That seems to be where the first level of intrigue is. What are the Chicago Blackhawks going to do? We all kind of know Macklin Celebrini's going number one to San Jose. And then Chicago has a pick of everything else. Do they go for the franchise anchor on defense, a player like Artem Levchinov from Michigan State or Anton Salayev, the giant Russian defenseman? Or do they look to find a forward who can ride shotgun with Connor Bedard? Is it someone like Ivan Demidov? Is it another big center or potentially a winger in Caden Lindstrom? So I think that's really, for me, where the real intrigue of this draft goes. You know, I kind of think it's going to be Levchinov, but you know, Kyle Davidson and the Blackhawks staff could see things very differently. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see how these big-name top defensemen sort of slot themselves out between Levshinov and Salayev and Sam Dickinson from London and Ziv Bulyam from Denver and Zane Parekh from Saginaw, Carter Yakimchuk from the Calgary Hitmen. You know, how are those guys going to sort of land with each team in the draft? You could see, you know, all six of those guys go in the top 12, top 13. That'll be really interesting. So there's, yeah, the draft, the first round especially, it's fraught with question marks, and that always leads to a good time.
No doubt, and I'm really intrigued to see what happens at number two. And, you know, Aaron sent me a little while ago the mock drafts that you and Mike put together over at NHL.com, and I can't help but notice who both of you have selecting at number nine overall, the Calgary Flames selecting Tiija Ginla. And look, over the last, I don't want to say 3-4 months in Calgary, when talking about the draft, the first thing that comes up, Adam, is, hey, are the Flames going to find a way to draft Jerome's son? Like, how are they going to get Tiija Ginla? And both you and Mike have him going at number nine. So from your perspective, Adam, how come that makes sense? How come number nine and Tiija Ginla is a good fit in your eyes?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. You know, when you look at what the Flames need, certainly a young center with that kind of skill set, that kind of hockey sense, and the name certainly helps. So if he's still there, and there is a question of could he still be there? Could Tiija Ginla go earlier than nine? I certainly think it's a possibility. You know, that sort of goes back to the unpredictability of this year's draft. I've seen Tiij, you know, marked as high as 5 to the Montreal Canadiens. I've seen him as low as 12 or 13. So there's some real variance on a lot of those players, and he's certainly one of them. I think, though, from what I've been told, if Tiija Ginla is on the board at number nine, the Flames will not hesitate to select him. I don't think they should. You know, I had some questions about, would it be an unfair level of pressure for Tiija Ginla as Jerome McGinley's son to skate under his father's retired jersey 41 nights a year at the Saddle Dome and whatever the new building is going to be when that opens. But from what I was told by some really smart people is he's played with that name on the back of his jersey his whole life. It's not suddenly going to become more pressure just because there is a certain logo on the front of it. So once I heard enough people tell me that, because the skill set is undeniable. Like if his name was Smith or Jones, there'd be no question. If he's there at number nine, you would take him. But just the last thing gave me a moment of pause. But after talking to the people who would know, they said if he's there, the Flames should not hesitate to take him.
So, and again, I mean, it's always so difficult to predict what eight teams are going to do in front of Calgary. I mean, we know what one team's going to do, but as you mentioned, where's Chicago going to go? Do they go defense? Do they go forward? What is your gut feel as to whether or not Tiij will be there for the Flames at number nine? And obviously you have to have some sort of good feel that it's going to happen if you've got them going Tiij at number nine in your mock draft. But like, does your gut tell you that he'll be there when the Flames are selecting?
It does, because I think there are some of the defensemen that are available, I think, are seen as either closer to being NHL ready or will fill more of a need at a, you know, when we're talking 2-3 years from now. So I think when you're building championship teams, it's from the net out, right? So you need your goalie, and then the next place you look is defense, and the next place you look at is center. And then, you know, I think when you're weighing one versus the other, if you can find a top line center or a top pair defenseman, I think it's a little bit harder to find that dynamic top pair defenseman. And there are a lot of them in this year's draft. So I think for some teams, they will place more of a priority on grabbing that defenseman high up in the draft. And then they can, you know, find that center that maybe can help them a little bit lower. I think the Flames, though, when it comes to where they're picking, I think if Ginla is still there at that point, he would be the best player on the board. And all those teams, certainly in the top 10, they're looking best player available. And if, you know, if the draft falls the way I think it'll fall, Ginla at that point would be the best player available.
Okay. We are chatting with Adam Kimmelman of NHL.com. He's joining us here on this Wednesday edition of Flames Talk from Vegas. It's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you on a Wednesday, Vicks.
Adam, in terms of storylines that'll unfold on day one of the draft, what piques your interest? You talked about the intrigue of Chicago at number two. You talked about the defense in this class. We've obviously talked about Tiege. But in terms of the feel-good stories in the draft, the heartwarming stories we need to keep track of, what sort of piques your interest on what could unfold on Friday?
You know, I'm curious to see where Caden Lindstrom ends up. You know, he's a guy who, if you just look at how you want to design a hockey player, he is what you want to design. Big, strong, skates so well. He's a track athlete as well as a hockey athlete. But he missed half the season because of some injuries to his back, to his hand. You know, there are some real teams have some real question marks about him. You know, is it a lingering injury? Is it a one-time thing? From what I've been told, he was working with an NHL team physician during his recovery. Teams have seen the medical reports from that doctor. There's no secrets there. He met with a ton of teams during the scouting combine. They got all the answers I would think they would need. But I think if he's healthy, you know, he's a top-end talent. I'm curious to see where teams look at him now after having, you know, all of the information in front of him digested. I think he's still – I think from what I've been told, everything is sort of – he's 100%. He's on the ice training. You know, he came back and played in the Western League playoffs a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't play the under-18s just to give him more time to work his way back, but he said he's been skating for a while. We had him on our NHL Draft Class podcast and talked about, you know, he's skating and feeling 100%. And he'll be even better when training camp rolls around in the fall. So I'm really curious to see how teams feel on him, because to me, if I'm the Columbus Blue Jackets and I'm sitting there at number four, and I've drafted Adam Fantilli last year, I can add Caden Lindstrom behind him as a number two center. That's the kind of size down the middle that teams need when they want to make that run for potentially winning a Stanley Cup. When you could have that much skill with that much size, and Lindstrom brings a real nasty streak, that's something special. So he could slip. Teams could be a little nervous, especially with the back. But to me, if teams determine that he's 100% or will be 100% and this injury won't be a lingering issue, I think he's a real – he could be a real steal even at number four in this year's draft.
Keeping on the injury front, the injury theme, if we had this conversation a year ago today, Aaron Kiviharu, the Finnish defenseman, might be in consideration for top five or top 10. Of course, had almost his entire draft season wiped out, did come back and play in the U18s, but I'm just curious where you stand or what you've heard on his status, and would it surprise you if you hear his name called on Friday as opposed to Saturday?
No, it wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, he dislocated the kneecap in a practice accident back in October, and it took a while to heal. He came back at the under-18s, told me he wasn't 100% even then, but he couldn't pass on the opportunity to play just to get back on the ice, even for his own mental health, just to be skating and be in a uniform and be at game speed again. He's on pace to be 100% when training camp starts. He'll play at least one more year in Finland, but to me, I think the questions for Aaron Kiviharu more surround the size at 5'9 and 185 pounds than they do anything with the injury. He plays such a mature game. You know, he's so smart. The hockey sense is what you really, really like about him. Then you mix it with the skill set, you know, the ability to either lead the rush or make a real good smart pass out of the zone. He is a complete defenseman. You just wish he was a little bit bigger, a little bit taller, and that would be just a little bit better.
Where are you at? Again, another injured defenseman this season, but Adam Juracek as well. How much of his status do you feel like he had the opportunity, I think, had he played a full season, to maybe put himself in the running as a top six or a top seven defenseman? How much of a setback do you think he faced with his injury at the World Juniors?
Well, I think he's another one very similar to Kiviharu, where teams, you know, really had some questions. They didn't get to see him. And when they did see him, you know, the couple scouts I talked to weren't overly impressed with what they saw, and they were hoping they would see more as the season went on. Unfortunately, they didn't get that opportunity. But when you look at what he's done at lower levels in his development path, a healthy season, he projects to be a really good dynamic defenseman, big, strong, right shot. I don't know if what his top end offensively is. I don't know if he's, your prototypical number one defenseman, but I think he has top four abilities with that right shot and strong, and he's got a real good pedigree. His brother's coming along with Columbus. He's a guy that there's some projection there, and you hope that he can be the guy that he looked at the younger levels had he not had the injury. Again, he'll be 100% come training camp in the fall where he plays. I would assume he'll do another season and check extra Liga. But, I still think he's a first-round pick because I think teams are going to see that potential and hope that he'll be able to get back to that level.
Adam, I want to go back to your mock draft at NHL.com that dropped yesterday. You actually have Kiviharu going at number 28 to the Calgary Flames. Curious who else you were considering for that pick in forming your mock.
Well, I think just, with them having taken the forward earlier, I think a defenseman just kind of felt like the right thing to do for that area. Mm-hmm. A guy like Charlie Elick from Brandon in the Western League is another guy who I think could be an option in that spot if they want to look on the defensive side. There's a few guys. It's just when you get down below between 25 and 35, E.J. Emery from the U.S. national team is another one. If you're looking for defense at that point, those are three names that I think certainly could be in that discussion. But there are guys between 25 that some teams are going to have at 25, other teams are going to have at 40. So it's just sort of, that fine little difference between what a team likes in a player versus another player. So it's going to be really interesting. But for me, if Kiviharu is there, having watched him, as he's progressed playing World Juniors, you watch him on video, what he's capable of when he's healthy. I think if he's there, I think you take the chance and you hope that the skating and the head for the game, the high-end hockey IQ, is able to offset any questions you might have about the size.
Adam, this might be a little bit of inside baseball, but you've interviewed a ton of prospects this year on the NHL Draft Class podcast. I'm just curious, who stands out as sort of maybe one or two of the guys that you enjoyed interviewing the most, maybe had the most personality or was the most insightful? And I encourage everybody to go check out the podcast. I'm not going to lie, Adam, I probably listened to about six episodes as I was waiting for a plane to arrive in Calgary to take me to Vegas. But just curious from the human interest side or the personality side, who struck you in this class?
The guy I think we had the most fun with is Cole Eiserman. Just such a good kid, personable, funny, loves karaoke. Told us he's a big, loves the karaoke. When the machine comes out, Wagon Wheel is his choice. Had some fun there. We had a couple of his teammates could hear the eyes roll. But he's a fun kid. He's a fun kid. And I was talking to somebody about this the other day. The kids that we had on the podcast, the ones that we just talked to for stories, there's a real likability to this group. Not that other years it's not, but there's a whole, because, a lot of the times we spend with the first round kids, there's a lot of kids that are just, they're just good kids. They're just really nice, personable, outgoing, good kids. And you don't get that a lot, certainly at the combine, because they're very rehearsed, they're nervous, it's like speed dating, except with Hockey Hall of Famers in the room. Right. So there's a little bit of nervous factor there. And they come into our room and we kind of try to make them at ease. And it can be a little challenging, but Celebrini was good. Levshnov was really good. They call him Artie Party for a reason. Caden Lindstrom, really bright kid, really personable. Ziv Bulyum, same way, super mature, super smart, real good personality. I feel like I said that about a lot of the kids. Michael Hage is one that really stood out to me. I did a story on him on NHL.com. When you talk about mental toughness that some of these kids have, he's played 2 years with Chicago in the United States League. His first year got short-circuited. He dislocated his right shoulder in training camp his first day on the ice, missed 6 months, came back, played 13 games. That summer, while he's still recovering, his father passes away. So it's just a double shot for him that nobody that age could or should have to go through. But then he had the season that he had with all of that pressing on him. To me, he might have been the most impressive kid of any of the ones that I met, because, you know, to go through what he's gone through and to still be the kind of player that he is and to still have the positive kind of mindset that he has, I found that incredibly impressive.
We're chatting with NHL.com's Adam Kimmelman. He is the deputy managing editor over at NHL.com, also the co-host of the Draft Class podcast. And we're diving deep on this 2024 Draft Class, previewing Friday's round number one. And just a few more for you, Adam, kind of outside of the actual players selected on Friday. I mean, we've seen a few trades this week already. We saw Monday's trade half an hour before game seven between Ottawa and Boston. We saw the San Jose Detroit trade on Tuesday. How much are you watching for? How interested are you in some of the movement that goes on here that is related to the draft, but not specifically the players picked? What do you have your eye on in that regard here over the next few days?
You know, I'm curious, any team that still has multiple first round picks, you know, you're looking at Philadelphia, Calgary, Ottawa came off that list with the trade that they made, but Montreal, you know, these teams, Anaheim, what are they going to do with those two picks? What are they going to do? Can they move up? Can they move back? Do they want to accumulate even more? You know, you look at what Utah has with all the bevy of draft picks they have. And speaking with Bill Armstrong, they have a chance to be really, really creative here and really, you know, make some big moves here. So there are some teams that definitely bear watching because of the draft pick capital that they have. So to me, I think today, as we progress through the day and even into tomorrow, I think there's going to be a lot of moving and shaking. I think the draft order as it stands today might look a little different when we get to Friday afternoon or Friday night, excuse me.
Yeah. And I mean, the goaltender market is one that we're fascinated in. Like, we're still here in Calgary, just to take you behind the curtain, Adam, we're still kind of in withdrawal mode from Jacob Markstrom talk. We've been talking about Jacob and his future for the last like 4 months. So now that his future has been decided and he's a member of the New Jersey Devils, we're kind of just still in withdrawal mode. But, you know, there's John Gibson in Anaheim. There's talk about UC Saros in Nashville and whether or not he's a guy that moves. How much focus do you think will turn to the goaltender market as we move deeper into this week?
Well, for sure. I think there are certain teams that we know that are looking to target and improve. Jersey did it and they moved first and they moved fast to get Markstrom, and Ottawa followed with Ullmark. You know, what's going to happen with a team like Toronto? What's going to happen with a team like Carolina? Are they going to look to upgrade in their at goaltender for what they're doing? You know, who's available? Will Nashville move Saros? That's going to be really interesting going into the last year of his deal. Every time the names come up, Barry Trotz has said, we want to keep him. We want to extend him. But how long do they want to extend him for, knowing Yaroslav Askarov is their number one prospect? And he appears like he's ready to be an NHL goaltender. So that certainly bears watching. If they put Saros on the market, that could be a really, really big move for Nashville. Somebody's going to have to step up, I would think, and make them an offer that they can't refuse, because I don't know if they're necessarily looking to move UC Saros, but I think it certainly bears watching. And I'm sure there's even other goalies that we're not even thinking of that are going to be possible to get moved.
Adam, enjoy the week, hey? We'll probably see you a little bit later on this Wednesday. If not, we'll definitely see you as the week goes along. And enjoy the lava lamp watching it at the Sphere, hey?
Absolutely. They just flashed the Minions up there, though, so it's just really cool. Again, I'm watching like a lava lamp. It's hypnotic.
The Minions one is one of the classics. I love that one where it's watching over you. That's outstanding. We'll see you later on this week. Thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it, Adam.
All right. Anytime, guys.
It's Adam Kimmelman of NHL.com. He's the co-host of the Draft Class podcast and just overall the deputy managing editor of NHL.com joining us here on this hour of Flames Talk. We're coming at you from Las Vegas, site of the 2024 NHL Draft, the final in-person NHL Draft, at least for the time being. I've heard a few rumblings that it might be a temporary move away from in-person drafts, and then they'll go back to them. I have no reason why that's the case, but that has been the rumblings that maybe they move away from it for a little bit, money saving.
I'm going to chalk it up to a little bit of FOMO. I'll predict within 5 years that we're back to in-person. As you mentioned, for now, it'll either be going on hiatus or canceled, if you will, but just having 32 GMs and executives from all the teams around in the same city on the floor, being able to have prospects right in front of your face that you're able to interview and talk to on the days leading up to the draft. All this to me is critical infrastructure from an organizational standpoint. And maybe I'm just thinking this selfishly, but I'd love to get back to in person.
My read has been that Gary Bettman was not in favor. Commissioner Bettman was not in favor of them moving away from the on-site drafts. If you're wondering, if you're like, what are these idiots talking about? Well, for the longest time, I mean, for the last 30 years, the NHL draft has been an event that is put on in a certain city every year. And so every team takes their 20, 25 delegates, more, whatever the case may be, and they all set up in whatever city it is. And you know, there's many people who know this. So I'm not trying to be like some sort of Sherlock Holmes and tell you what you already know. But for those of you who aren't aware, that's the way it's gone for the longest time. Whereas in the NFL, Major League Baseball, you know, the drafts are decentralized and they don't all go to one city, and the prospects or the draft picks all go to one city. Like, you know, in the NFL, everybody goes to Radio City, or they go to Philly, or they did the one on the Strip here in Vegas, or whatever the case may be. But the teams stay in their war rooms in their own cities and they make their picks from there, and Commissioner Roger Goodell is the one who's announcing the picks, shaking the hands, so on and so forth. So that's the model that the NHL is going to move to, and that, from my understanding, was more of a team asks. More of an ask from the teams. They were right. Like, we'd like to give this a try, whether it be for cost saving measures, whether it be just for having more intel readily available. You know, if you're taking 20, 25 people to a city, maybe you have the opportunity to have 35, 40 people in your war room if you're staying in Calgary or Edmonton or Vancouver or whatever the case may be. So the read I have is that Gary Bettman didn't want that. He liked having this event be kind of a hallmark moment, and, you know, one of the events that travels to different cities, and one of the things that raises the prestige of the league. But because he's the commissioner and he works for the owners, he works for the teams, obviously if the teams wanted to give this a try for a few years, he was going to do it. Now, we did kind of have it with the COVID drafts. Right. Please just make them more streamlined than the COVID drafts. That's the only thing I ask.
Than the 13-hour day two marathon we endured in 2021.
Remember in 2020, it went like maybe 2.7% faster the year after, in 2021. I just remember sitting in that boardroom, you and I and Will Nault and Derek Neumeyer all doing that draft in 2020. And I looked up at the clock and we were like 2.5 hours in and not even done the second round.
Yeah,
you know, if you usually day two, the second round takes, and at most it takes, and like they run through them so quickly. Round one's a marathon because they spend so much time in each pick. It's the event part. It's kind of the hallmark part of it. And then round two through seven is kind of more for the hardcores and doesn't have the same type of TV glitz and glamour. A lot of the, you know, the TV crews will go home on the Saturday, and it'll be more just the NHL.com crew that'll do the Saturday. Anyway, I digress. This is, for the time being, the last in-person draft, and they're going out with a bang at Sphere in Las Vegas. I have no idea what it's going to look like inside there. Usually they have, you know, right on the rink floor, like the playing surface, the about two-thirds of that is taken up, if not more, by all of the tables for the 32 individual teams. Then the final third and a little bit into the stands right behind the end glass will be the risers for the media, and they usually go 7-8 levels high, and that's where media set up to cover the draft. Well, The Sphere is not an NHL rink.
No, it is not.
So it's a little bit of a different setup. I have no idea where you and I are going to be. Like, are we going to be on the roof? Are we going to be in the basement? Are we going to be in a boardroom? Are we? Are they going to have media risers? I honestly have no idea how it's going to look. Again, I've talked to a few production people involved on kind of the setup setup side with the NHL, or setup side on the television on the television side of things. And it's such a steep building. It's going to be really interesting. I'm fascinated. Once we walk in, I am fascinated to see what it's like come Friday and Saturday.
Well, and I don't know about you, but I've never been in the building for anything, whether it be a concert or any other event.
How many people have been in the Sphere? I mean, Wes has been.
Oh.
Wes went there for his favorite band, U2, but
Nashville Predators almost went.
They decided not to go, and they made the playoffs as a result. Yep. Just ask them. Okay, we're underway this hour on Flames Talk. Vickers Steinberg from Vegas. As we continue along on draft week, we will have a ton of coverage and really start diving in. Going to have all kinds of exclusive Flames content for you on Thursday's show. Chat with Craig Conroy, chat with Todd Button. Hoping to track down Jordan Sigalet. Wouldn't mind talking with the director of goaltending about some of the goaltending situations the Flames have, knowing that they've now traded Jacob Markstrom. That's all planned for you on Thursday. Frank Saravalli is going to join us on Thursday from Vegas as well. Our draft sponsors, we got four great draft sponsors, including our friends at Atlas Pizza, who also happened to bring you the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. That's where Adam Kimmelman joined us this segment on Flames Talk. Atlas Pizza, celebrate the summer soccer spectacle from around the world and cheer on your favorite country on the big screens at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive. Northeast.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Rolling on from Vegas on this Wednesday hour of Flames Talk. Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you, and continuing to get ready for Friday and Saturday's NHL draft. And, you know, we talked to Adam Kimmelman to kick off the hour, and, you know, he's got Tiege Ginla going number 9 to the Flames at his NHL.com mock draft. Mm-hmm. His colleague Mike Morial has the Flames selecting at number 9 overall Tiege Ginla in his mock draft. Jason Bukala just put out his latest mock draft at Sportsnet.ca.
Let me guess.
At number 9 overall, the Flames are selecting
Tiege Ginla.
Tiege Ginla. And there are many who have the Flames taking Tiege at number 9. And look, it's my belief that if Tiege is still available at number 9, he will be Calgary's pick. I think there's too much going for it for that not to happen. I do think that if Tiege is still on the board, he'll be selected by the Flames. And whether or not that is the right move in your eyes, if you're listening or not, is another story. But I do think there's a very strong chance that that'll be the case if he's still there when the Flames select. But let's talk about other people for a second, because and that's not a knock on Tiege at all. The storyline is incredibly enticing when it comes to this player joining the Flames. But, you know, I want to talk about a few other names that might be available for Calgary when they draft at number 9, because, you know, there's a decent chance that a team like Montreal is a team that goes after Tiege at 5th overall, or whether it's Utah at 6. I've seen Columbus at 4 as a potential landing spot for Ginla. So what if Tiege Ginla is not there at number 9, or what if the Flames decide to go elsewhere and not select him? I want to just, you know, FC Hockey's draft guide is out. The promo code is, once again,
SN960.
If you want to get 40% off site-wide at FC Hockey or just 40% off their comprehensive draft guide, you can use the promo code SN960. Go to the website NHLEntryDraft.com. NHLEntryDraft.com is the website for the FC Hockey draft guide. It's the official draft guide of our coverage here at the draft. And so let me just throw a few names at you as to potentially who could be available for the Flames at number 9. And let's start with Caden Lindstrom, who you have ranked number 8. Why would the Medicine Hat Tigers center be a good pick for the Flames at number 9?
Well, he's a bit of a unicorn in this draft in terms of, we all know the defensive depth of this draft is the hallmark, but he's one of those players that is truly unique among the forward class. He's a big body at 6'4". He has some snarl to his game, but he's just an impressive combination of a physical package with high-end skill. And there is a realistic chance that he is available to the Flames at nine. He didn't play a whole lot this season. He only played 32 games. Back injury was a major concern both for the player and for NHL teams evaluating the situation. Now, we did hear from Adam Kimmelman that his rehab was done with an NHL organization, or at least the staff of an NHL organization, to ensure that there wouldn't be any issues or try to calm maybe the narrative around it that, you know, this might be something that lingers. But at the end of the day, he still produced at a 1.44 point per game click. That's the highest from a draft eligible skater from the Medicine Hat Tigers in 21 years. The last player to produce at that sort of pace, Joffrey Leupel in 2001-2002. Huh. And Lindstrom is a high-end talent for this draft. He was named the CHL's Top Prospect Award winner. There is a lot to like in his game, both in his ability to dominate the play physically while adding a layer of skill. There are still some questions whether or not he's actually going to be a center at the NHL level or a winger, but you just look at sort of the size combination that he has, and it's hard not to imagine him as a 1A or a 1B center down the road.
Somebody over at the Flames mailbag that I posted on sportsnet.ca on Tuesday asked me, if it comes down to it and it's Berkeley Catton or Caden Lindstrom at number nine, which way would I lean? Now, I lean Lindstrom because I love the and again, this is not Pat the scout talking because Pat's not a scout. And I don't know enough about these guys to sit here and tell you what you just said. I listen to people like Vickers and Adam Kimmelman and so on and so forth, and Sam Cosentino, Jason Bukala. Like, I let the experts help me inform, well, not help me. They do 100% form my opinion on these things. And so I love Lindstrom's size and the ability to bring that big skill element to the game, which is so important in this day and age. So I lean slightly Lindstrom over Berkeley Catton. I would imagine you lean the other way, though. Your FC rankings have Catton of the Spokane Chiefs ranked number four. You have him as your fourth-ranked player, rather. 54 goals, 116 points at Spokane in the regular season, and it's a very slight lean for me on Lindstrom over Catton. But tell us what intrigues you. Why should Flames fans be excited if Catton is the guy they go at number nine?
Well, it's an interesting debate, and as you mentioned, we've got Catton at four, Lindstrom at eight. Central Scouting has Lindstrom at three and Catton at eight, and the consensus has Lindstrom at five, Catton at six. So this is a real legitimate debate that NHL teams will be having in terms of one guy over the other. And if you surf over to NHLEntryDraft.com, we've actually got an article up that compares both of these players head to head. You can find it at NHLEntryDraft.com or more probably readily available on Twitter at FC Hockey. But Catton is just everything you want in a high end offensive forward, except maybe the size. He's only 5'10", 170 pounds, so he's definitely got some room to grow there. He led all NHL draft eligibles in scoring this season. You ran through the stat line, 54 goals, 116 points in 68 games. Like, there wasn't anything he did offensively. He couldn't do any more. But the thing is he also did it defensively as well. I think he was in the top three in the WHL in shorthanded goals as well. So he's kind of an all situations player, super, super intelligent. He, again, a highly offensive gifted center. His IQ is off the charts, a lot of poise, quick feet. There is questions like Lindstrom is whether or not Catton is going to be a center at the NHL level. He's got those physical limitations that Lindstrom doesn't. But at the same time, I know that us as a scouting staff at FC Hockey are confident that Catton can be one of those centers at the next level, despite his size. And again, there's a little bit of a Calgary Flames tie to him too. Second cousin is Corey Sarich. So there you go.
Ooh.
If you want a little, if you want a little Calgary Flames connection to Berkeley Catton, Corey Sarich.
Let's move to a defenseman. You've got Sam Dickinson of the London Knights ranked number 6 on the final FC hockey rankings. And there's a lot of different defensemen that could be available. For whatever reason, though, the one that I keep seeing Flames fans talk most about on social media is Dickinson. Tell us about the London Knights defenseman and what the Flames would be getting in him if they selected him at 9th overall.
Well, this is just such an interesting class for defensemen. And it's almost like you walk down a grocery store aisle and you pick what kind of cereal you want, because there's just a variety. There's the big, massive, beautiful skater in Salaev. You've got Zane Parekh, who is just as dynamic as they come offensively, but might have some questions about his all-around game. You get to Sam Dickinson, and one, he comes from the London Knights program. We know that all they do is produce NHL caliber players, so that's the tick number one. The second sort of carrot in selecting Sam Dickinson is he might be the best all-round defenseman in the class in terms of playing a 200-foot game. He can produce offensively at 70 points in 68 games this season for London, fourth among OHL defensemen. His 70 points were third among any draft-eligible defenseman from the London Knights, trailing Evan Bouchard and Rob Ramage. So pretty good names to sort of be behind, especially Bouchard. We just saw what he did in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But the thing is Sam Dickinson is just so polished, just so poised. I know there are questions about his overall ceiling, and I think that comes like a little bit just, I don't want to say generically, but when you consider a forward, for example, and player X, and he's a great 200-foot player, in saying he's a great 200-foot player, a lot of people will discredit his offensive contributions because he's just so good defensively. I think Sam Dickinson gets a little bit of that as well. There is an aura about maybe his decision-making in terms of the offensive side doesn't match some of the other top players. And you know what? That's fair. That's valid. But just, you've got a defenseman that's 6'3", can really skate, can command 200 feet of the ice, probably trends as a top pairing defenseman. His floor is so high. You're almost guaranteed a top four defenseman just by taking him right out of the box. But there are questions. Can he be a number one? Is he a number two? I know there are some comparisons in his game to Alex Pietrangelo. I see more of, and to bring it back to Calgary Flames terms, I see more of a Noah Hanifin in him, where Hanifin, okay, you look at him and was a great skater, but not like, I wouldn't call him a dynamic skater. He's not a Quinn Hughes, 200-foot player, but isn't necessarily elite at either end of the ice. Could quarterback a power play, but isn't going to be a dynamic power play quarterback, so on and so forth. And we saw firsthand how Noah Hanifin progressed into what I would argue is a really strong number two defenseman here in Calgary, especially this past season. I see a lot of sort
funny
of
funny enough. Now he's in Vegas with Pietrangelo.
Funny enough, we might run into him. Who knows? But I just see a lot of comparisons in Noah Hanifin to Sam Dickinson. And remember, if you go back, I think Noah Hanifin, what was he, a number 5 overall from the Carolina Hurricanes?
Yeah, that sounds
so
right.
So there you go. You've got another top 10 comparison right there.
And two final names for you. Both are forwards. I've got a feeling that, especially if it's not Tiege, that the Flames might go defense at number 9. It really, just some of the people that I've spoken to and just some of the buzz that I've gotten, I if it's not Tiege Ginla, I really feel like they might go defense, but the 4 of the 5 that we're talking about here are forwards, just because I think it's really important for them to bring home an NHL center, but I digress. Tell us about Konsta Hellenius of the Finnish league. You know, he seems like he's that, I don't want to say this in a derogatory way when I say this, but he seems like he's kind of that really safe pick in a lot of ways. Feels like he's just going to be an NHLer. It just depends on what type of impact maker he is at the next level.
I think he slept on a little bit. He's the number 3 ranked international.
By the way, skater. You have him ranked number 5 on the FC hockey rankings.
Yes, number 3 among international skaters from Central, but his consensus is 11. So we think he's a little slept. And as I mentioned with Dickinson, Hellenius is kind of that 200-foot player that maybe his offense gets discredited just because he has that all-around game. He was coached this past season in Ukurit by Flames connection Ole Jokinen. Yep. And Jokinen called him a top 3% talent, said that he would be able to play in the NHL next season. And there's a lot to like. And it's the little details, 200-foot game, again, compete offensive awareness, can pick apart defensive coverages. But I don't understand necessarily why his offense is being slept on. He had 36 points in 51 games, most by a U18 player across Liga. His point total was the fifth highest ever by a draft-eligible player coming out of Liga behind, and here are the names, Barkov, Jokinen, Granlund, Kaapo Kakko. Kakko went number two in his draft year. So I think he gets a little bit discredited because he's such a good all-round player that his offense, for some reason or another, gets knocked down a peg. He was the youngest player at the World Championship this year. Didn't play in every game for Finland. So it's not like he, I think he played in four, if I'm remembering correctly. But just his ability to impact a game at his age is through the roof. And he's one of maybe four or five players that I feel confident saying this guy has an absolute legit shot to play in the NHL next season.
Yep.
Just that good.
Okay. Okay. And then tell us about a guy that you're really, really interested in. This is a guy that you feel should be getting a whole lot more buzz. We have not heard a lot about Michael Brandsteg Nygaard, but it's a guy that you feel you've, by the way, FC Hockey has him ranked number 12, one ahead of Tiija Ginla, who you have ranked at number 13. Brandsteg Nygaard, tell us a little bit more about one of the guys you're most high on going into Friday.
To me, he's just, he has the ability to impact the game differently than a lot of his peers in this draft class. His shot is right up there with the best shooters in the class, whether it's Iserman, Iginla, so on and so forth. He's got an NHL-ready shot. And one of the things I like is that he played against men in Sweden's second division this season and really fared well, and he had a really strong playoff. Parlayed that into an appearance with Norway at the World Championship and played a key role there. He's got a lot of physicality and a lot of snarl to his game, and he's able to find quiet spots on the ice to use that shot. But I think he's got one of the sort of rare abilities in this class to drag others into the fight. And there isn't a post-whistle scrum that he's not interested in being involved in. He's got the size, he's got the mentality for it. To be perfectly honest, and this isn't going to be a direct comparison, and he's not going to necessarily just automatically snap your fingers and have the Hall of Fame career, but a lot of his elements to me are more like Jerome Iginla than some of the elements in Tiija Ginla's game. And you've got a right shot, right wing in Brandsteg Nygaard, who again has that lethal shot, can find some spots, probably more likely to go through you than around you. And again, just has that ability to, if you're looking for a player, and I'm not calling this a Matthew Tkachuk comparison, but just in this one element where if you need to jumpstart your team, Brandsteg Nygaard has that ability to do so physically, to engage the opponent, but also engage his teammates at the same time. Because again, there's going to be a little bit of a scuffle typically when this guy's on the ice.
With him and Solberg, like this is... Cool.
It's insane that we could legitimately see two Norwegian players go before the first Swede. There's never, ever been a first-round pick from Norway in the NHL draft.
This year we're going to
have gonna see two.
Yeah.
We're going to see two.
And they could very well go...
And they grew up together. They played hockey together growing up, went to the same school. I got the chance to talk to both of them at the World Championship, both interview very well.
Well,
and they're best friends, but at the same time, they will go at it on the ice in practice. They are so ultra competitive will punch each other in the face. And then I don't know if they would go for a beer because they're still just 18, but they'll get along off the ice as well after just exchanging punches in the face.
That's awesome. And in Norway, they speak better English than people in Canada.
That is correct.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did know that.
Okay, starting to wrap things up this hour. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. Flames Talk is coming at you from the 2024 NHL Draft in Las Vegas. Thanks to Cam and Shan, our producers this hour, and our coverage from Vegas brought to you by our four outstanding sponsors, including All Kind Door Services Limited, your go-to service company for the last 35 years, offering 24-hour emergency service for all your door repairs. Anything that swings, slides, or rolls, visit allkinddoorservices.com.